Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vital Villa Show. I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. But most importantly, I really hope you enjoyed the last two episodes I did with Jonathan Fear and Brian Little, two people who are closely affiliated with Aston Villa Football Club. And brilliantly, in my opinion, throughout the episode, the two episodes interpreted life and Villa in quite unique ways and shared their stories in quite unique ways. So I really hope you had the same reaction that I did when I listened back, and the fact that I thought they were so inspirational, motivational. But most importantly, today, we're releasing this on transfer deadline day. I really want to look at the key headlines surrounding Aston Villa in terms of transfer rumours and just key officials, what they're doing, the rumours circulating around them. Just let's have a look at some of the key headlines and go on Aston Villa News now. Scroll the page, see the most read articles, and let's have a look at what pundits, fans and players are saying. Just react to it and dissect it in a way that I personally like to do. So let's have a look at the news stories. Let's get straight into it. After the sale of Conor Hourihan to Sheffield United, TBRFootball.com are suggesting that there's got to be some form of plan, got to be some plan going into transfer deadline day to try and replace him. Because some Villa fans think Smith has a plan after the transfer of a 30k a week midfielder, that midfielder, of course, being Conor Hourihan, leaving Sheffield United on loan. The Premier League club Villa announced on their official website that the Republic of Ireland international has completed a switch to the Blades for the 2021-22 championship campaign. Now, the thing is with Conor Hourihan, because we have an array of midfielders at Aston Villa, an array of midfielders with completely different talents who offer completely different things to the squad. And when you look at Douglas Luiz and Marvellous Nakamba, who are perfect in that number six role, the fact that they can dominate play, be such a dominating force within the midfield and retrieve the ball back for the side to then go on the attack. But then you have players like Ashley Young, who are so versatile, can drop in there. And then you have Jacob Ramsey and John McGinn being that terrier-like force, who's specifically, you've seen for Scotland recently, been really good offensively, but renowned for his defensive work. And Jacob Ramsey is one for the future alongside Carney Chukwuemeka. So we have lots of young players coming up of such talent. The thing is with Conor Hourihan is he's perfect, absolutely perfect for the championship in terms of his skill set, his free kick routines, and his experience will be valued at any championship club. So for Sheffield United to have him, especially in the ways that they are right now, having only got 1 point out of four games, I think it is. So for them to accumulate Conor Hourihan throughout this transfer window, just right at the end, alone for the season, it's perfect buy for them. The thing is, of course, we played Conor Hourihan at the start of our new Premier League campaign a few seasons ago, the season when we just survived, when the world went into lockdown. Villa have moved on. Conor Hourihan's moved on and he's aging, and Villa are rising up the ranks and trying to reclaim their spot in European football and in the elite of English football, as well as the world football. I mean, you look back to 1982 when Villa won the European Cup. We want to get back to those sort of stages and those sort of heights. So for Villa to constantly improve, we need to constantly improve areas in the squad. I mean, you look at goalkeeping options. We thought Tom Heaton was the man and he got injured, but we brought in Martinez and he improved that area so, so much. And we keep continuing to do that. I think the thing is with Conor Hourihan, he's had his time, he's been a great servant, and I honestly wish him the best. But I wouldn't be surprised if there is an addition on transfer deadline day in terms of midfield roles. But the thing is, we've got a lot of good young players who are coming through. So this article reported by TBR Football suggesting that the Villa fans think there's some form of plan. I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes in, but realistically, the array of players we have in the midfield for Aston Villa have such talent, such skill, that's so professional in their ways that we don't necessarily need to add anyone to it. Now, Birmingham Mail have suggested that Aston Villa have been linked with a move for Sampdoria winger Mikael Damsgaard. I think that's how you pronounce it, throughout the summer. And reports in Italy suggest the club are braced for late offers for the Denmark international. However, according to La Repubblica via TalkSport, Tottenham are said to have dropped out for the running to sign the winger, making Leeds and Liverpool the only eligible candidates to make the late move. Damsgaard was a standout performer for Denmark at Euro 2020, And England fans know the player all too well after that beautiful free kick against them in the tournament semi-final. Now let's assess the options that Villa have on the wing, because we have Leon Bailey, you have Lino Buendia, a lot of players who can play there. Ashley Young was originally brought in realistically as a fullback option, but we've seen in the array of games that we played so far in the Premier League, Ashley Young can play as a fullback. He did so against Watford when he came on, but against Brentford, he played as a central midfielder, and he can play those array of positions. He's so agile because he's such a professional in himself and he's such a fantastic footballer, such talent. We saw that in his first tenure at Villa, has come back and is such a good squad player and a fantastic contributor to the squad. But in terms of Mikael Damsgaard, it's not an area we really need to add in. I think for me, if we need to add anywhere, it needs to be a goalkeeper, because we've got Jed Steer, we've got Martinez. But the thing is, after losing Tom Heaton, a man of such class and such talent and charisma, we've got no one else to really replace him. I think you look to youngsters in terms of Philippe Marshland, and there's a young lad called, I can't pronounce his name, apologies, Singelo, something like that. But the thing is, no one of such experience that can really add something to that department. I mean, Jed Steer's been around Aston Villa, of course, renowned for his playoff appearances that helped Villa get back up to the Premier League. And Martinez is such a class professional himself, winning the Copa America with Argentina. But that third goalkeeper, for example, you look at some of the higher clubs in terms of Chelsea and Man United, you've seen them in the past appoint someone like Lee Grant and Robert Green, not because they're going to start every game, but the fact that they add so much to the dressing room in terms of their experience and their talent. And it's almost getting to the stage where they could potentially be a coach themselves. So they're able to teach the younger kids and the ones in their prime about how to be such a professional and how to be so consistent in their play and consequently be a great contributor for Aston Villa. So we don't necessarily need Mikael Damsgaard. He's such a fantastic player himself for Sampdoria, but I wouldn't rather him go to Leeds or Liverpool, but Aston Villa don't need him. I think we need to look for other areas if we do strengthen on transfer deadline day, the day which you will be hearing this. This will probably go out on transfer deadline day. I hope it does. But we don't necessarily need Mikael Damsgaard. Let's move on. Let's have a look at some other sources and what they're saying about Aston Villa. I talk about the fact that Villa, if they were to strengthen anywhere on transfer deadline day, should be in the midfield. And the fourth official.net, that's how you say it, are saying that Aston Villa could potentially be eyeing a move for this Liverpool midfielder and what will he bring to Villa Park. And that man is Curtis Jones from Liverpool. He's 20 years old, has an array of talents to his name, and he's such a fantastic player for Liverpool, being that he is so, so young. I remember the time where he was in the Cup. I think it was the League Cup, if I'm not mistaken. No, FA Cup. I think it's the FA Cup where he scored the absolute screamer into the top corner. But nevertheless, I mean, there, in such a tense environment like the Merseyside Derby, just to come out and be such a fantastic presence on the pitch alongside great players for a great club like Liverpool and score is a fantastic achievement in itself. But Aston Villa are eyeing a move for Liverpool midfielder Curtis Jones this summer, which was reported throughout the summer, but apparently Sky Sports are saying that isn't the case. Dean Smith does have the money. If I can't speak tonight. Dean Smith does have the money to go in for a midfielder if he wants to, according to Sky Sports. But realistically, being that there is only one day left, he's not desperate to go out for someone. He likes the current squad. He thinks he's got a good array of players to work with. And being with everyone fit, I think the European push is available and an improvement on last season and the season before. That's the aim at Aston Villa Football Club, to keep on improving. And Curtis Jones, an appointment of Curtis Jones, the addition of Curtis Jones to Aston Villa Football Club, would be an improvement. And we're looking now as a club, we used to look at, if we're bringing someone in, how are they fit in the first team? And now as a football club, we're looking at how they fit into the squad, which shows how big we've grown as a club in the fact that we're not looking to constantly replace our first team or our first 11, but we're looking to add players to the squad to build a good cohesive unit, not on the pitch immediately, but off the pitch as well. And sure, Curtis Jones is a talented lad and I think he'll add something, but we don't necessarily need him straight away. And we could go in January for that possibility. But the fourth official saying that we could be going in for him on the final day. I don't necessarily think it's true, but it is interesting to see someone of Curtis Jones's caliber to be linked to Aston Villa. That's an exciting transfer to think about, but I don't necessarily think will happen. Now, if we cast our minds back to last Saturday, Aston Villa 1, Brentford 1, array of players who contribute to that game who wouldn't normally do so, being that Villa were six or seven changes to the squad because of COVID and injuries. But Paul Merson predicts that Aston Villa youngster will be an absolute star. Aston Villa youngster Carney Chukwuemeka has drawn praise from Paul Merson after making his full Premier League debut against Brentford. This statement, what Paul Merson said after reporting on the game for Soccer Saturday, was reported on Birmingham Live. And let's have a look at what Paul Merson said, because he said that you look at the positives. The young kid, Chukwuemeka, was very good. He has got a bright future. I don't see a lot of the kids' football. First half, he was outstanding. He was gliding across the pitch. And 17 years old, you are playing in the Premier League in centre of midfield. I mean, that's a big ask. He'll be an absolute star. He glides across the pitch. He's a nice size. He gets on the ball. He looks for it and makes runs without the ball. I think Villa fans will go away from that game specifically thinking and talking a lot about him. And we've been talking a lot about him for quite a while now. I mean, you look last season when he came on against Spurs away and nearly scored. He hit the post. And that's just the immediate impact he made alongside Philogene Badaes when they were both brought on. And you look at the FA Cup youth squad and further down the line, the under-18s. I mean, even the under-16s, I've watched them. But if that cycle continues, we've got a good array of players to work with who can potentially sell on for profit or make a fantastic appearance or presence within our first 11 and work towards that, which is what Philogene Badaes and Carney are doing. In terms of Carney, I think if you were to compare him with someone of Yaya Toure's skill set, I think is what he could potentially go to and has a lot of potential to do so. I think you look at Brentford game and defensively wasn't brilliant and really needs more first team appearances, and whether that will be on Aston Villa's turf at B6 and away, or will that be on loan? I think what Dean Smith's trying to do is embed him within a first team setup this season, then take him out on loan next season, then bring him back. That's what he did with Jacob Ramsey. He went on loan to Doncaster and came back and is now slowly growing into setup. I think some of that caliber, of that class, needs to happen to Carney Chukwuemeka just to get him ready for first team football physically. Because skillfully as a player, he's got a lot of talent. He shows that with a few good runs and twists and turns against Brentford. But the thing is, physically, wasn't necessarily up for it. I didn't make a name for himself in that department against Brentford. So a loan move next season would do him a lot of good. But he is, for a 17-year-old to be playing in the Premier League in the centre of midfield, like Paul said, is a fantastic achievement himself. And he's got a long way to go. He's got a lot of potential, that lad. I mean, from an array of sources I've seen today as well, AS Roma were looking at Douglas Luiz, Jose Mourinho being and wanting Douglas Luiz at his club due to the fact that we can see for ourselves that the kid's got a lot of potential, but he's showing that potential right here, right now, at Aston Villa Football Club and for Brazil in the Olympics winning gold. And for AS Roma to come in for him on deadline day and secure his name tag, I don't necessarily think will happen. But the thing is that Douglas Luiz, he had that buyback clause, so Manchester City didn't go back. Man City didn't want him. They've got an array of talent there. They stole Grealish from us. But most importantly, the thing is, Douglas Luiz still has a lot to give. He's a talented footballer. He's shown that against Brentford, shown that against Newcastle, even though he played for Brazil at the Olympics and hasn't necessarily got a lot of rest. But we want to see the best of Douglas Luiz. And I reckon we've seen 75% of his worth. He's got still got a lot more to go. And for AS Roma to come in for him on deadline day and secure his name tag, I don't, again, think that will happen. But it's interesting to see the calibre of clubs our players have been linked with. And it's nice to see, it'll be nice to see for Douglas Luiz to grow in front of our own eyes and not necessarily give him to AS Roma, but to see other clubs looking at our players and admiring our players' talents and skill sets is humbling for us Aston Villa fans to see the club grow and to see these players flourish in Claret & Bleu.
Jose Mourinho has defended his record in English football this afternoon and says his dismissals at Chelsea, Manchester United and Tottenham were only good news for his rivals. Mourinho has been speaking to the media for the first time since being named as the new head coach at Italian side Roma and had a strong response when he was asked about previously saying it was the end of the world if he didn't win games.
No, I said it was the end of the world for other people. I said I am the victim of my own success. I am a victim of the way that people perceive me. I won 3 trophies at Manchester United, and yet it was considered a disaster. At Tottenham, I took them to cup final. They didn't allow me to play that, and yet it was a disaster. For what's a disaster for me is fantastic for other coaches. At my last 3 clubs, I won the Premier League with Chelsea. I won 3 cups with Manchester United. I made it into the League Cup final with Tottenham. We finished 12 the year before, and then we came 6th and qualified for the Europa League. What is considered a disaster for me is something that other coaches have never achieved in their lifetime. But that's the way it is. That's down to me.
A lot of our young talent who are on loan are going on international break with England. Kessler, the right back who's on loan at Stevenage, I believe, is going on international break. Philogene Badace as well. For the England under 17s, that's really exciting. Mings, if he's not severely injured, will be going on an international break with England and Buendia and Martinez, despite the fact that Argentina on the red list are going to play for their international side and missing out on our first Premier League game back against Chelsea, which is disappointing and a shame. But the thing is, I commend their civic pride and the fact that they love to play for Argentina, and that passion for their nation and for their club is what we want to see and what we want to see grow and flourish. So fair play to them, I think. But most importantly, I really hope you enjoyed this episode, me sharing the news with you, giving my reactions. And if you'd like to see this again, then please give us a download, give us a follow, and keep continuing to follow the podcast threads. And look at Vital Villa online, Vital Villa website. We get some of our articles on there. We've got some fantastic writers, and Jonathan Fair is conducting a fantastic website there, and we continue to flourish and grow day by day. But most importantly, stay safe, stay well, and in these tough conditions that we grow out from lockdown, keep continuing to support the boys in Claret and Blue and up the Villa.